exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
I'm calling it forgiveness. Forgiveness, which is a very, very touchy topic, especially during this time, because during the holiday time, it can sometimes bring up very uncomfortable or extreme pain because of some bitterness or some resentment that we may be holding towards people. And so today, I'm calling it forgiveness. I was kind of actually trying to be like really creative. I tried to be as creative as possible to come up with like really catchy sermon titles and message titles. I almost kind of called this, I was thinking about it last night, I almost kind of called this, it's not cute anymore. You know, like, and what I mean by that, like you've been harboring resentment toward this person that did something to you 15 years ago. Like, it was cute like the first year, but 15 years later, like, you're still bitter about that. Like, it's not cute anymore. And if I really wanted to be really preachy, I would tell you, like, turn to the person beside you, tell them it's not cute anymore. Like, it's not cute anymore. But I'm not gonna preach that today. But if you wanted to kind of have like a really creative title in your mind, that's what I would say. It's not cute anymore. I may even kind of say that throughout the course of this message, that it's not cute anymore. But forgiveness is a very, very touchy topic. Because what forgiveness causes us to do is it causes us to confront the reality of where we are emotionally. It causes us to confront the pain that we may be harboring on the inside towards somebody, or for the lack of better words, or somebody may be kind of harboring something against us. And in order for you to experience peace in your life, this has to be something that you and I take very seriously. It has to be something that we can't just like gloss over. And before you kind of dismiss like this message, because maybe you're kind of thinking like, I don't have any forgiveness issues, I would ask you and I to kind of just pump the brakes on that and to really ask God, give me some insights in the relationships that I have with people or the connections that I have with people, and help me to see, am I harboring something against somebody? Like, is there something on my heart, or is there something that is causing me to look at this person in a certain way in which I should not be looking at them? And that's kind of what this whole series is about. Silent Night is all about us experiencing peace in the midst of chaos. It's focusing on God's forgiveness, part one. That's what this message is about, focusing on what God has done for us. Now, this season, just to kind of give us a background on this season, some of you guys who have some type of church experience, you may have heard this word thrown around in the church called Advent. And Advent is just a simple word. It's a Latin word. It comes from this Latin word that just simply means arrival or the coming. And so during this Advent season, what we're doing is we're celebrating and looking forward to the birth of Jesus, right? And so obviously now in today's time, we're in 2015, Jesus was walking to earth 2,000 plus years ago. So now when we look at the birth story of Christ, or the arrival of Jesus at first, because scripture talks about how he not only came one time, but eventually he's going to come back again. He's going to come back, and there's going to be a new heaven, new earth, no more crying, no more dying, no more pain, no more tears, no more frustration, no more people dying. None of that stuff will happen, but that's going to happen after he kind of hits reboot and kind of resets the whole earth and resets the whole heaven. But right now we're in between his first arrival and his resurrection. I'll talk about more about that in a moment, and his second arrival. So if anything, as New Testament believers now, we're looking forward to his second arrival, his second advent. But that's what this season is all about. So, like, it's cool to watch, you know, Christmas movies and holiday movies. Like I don't know about you guys, but I love Christmas music. And 101.3, they've been playing, like, Christmas music since, like, January. You know what I'm saying? Like, February, Valentine's Day, they're like, bump that, we're playing Christmas music. They haven't really been doing that, I'm just exaggerating. But like, there's something very unique about this season. Like, there's something special about this season. And the reason why it's so special is it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas trees. It doesn't have anything to do with gifts. The specialness and the joy in this season has everything to do with what God did 2,000 years ago. That's what makes this season so special. Now, we can argue like, okay, was Christ really born on the 25th? Nobody really kind of knows, but around this season, we really kind of take a step back and we celebrate God for giving us his greatest gift in the form of his son. So as I said, it's a season of expectancy where we recognize the birth of Jesus on earth. Now, what's interesting about this, we're calling this series Silent Night, and the reason why we're calling this is because calling this name is because we want you to experience a silent night or a silent life throughout the rest of your life. Now, what we mean by that is this, because oftentimes what happens is we live in a context, we live in a fallen world, and what the enemy, the devil, Satan, or whatever you want to call him, is constantly doing is he's constantly telling us all of these lies. He's constantly speaking all this negativity into our life. He's constantly telling us what we can't do. He's constantly telling us who we are not. He's constantly telling us that we are not loved, that we are not valued by God. And so what Jesus does is Jesus comes to silence that. He comes to silence the lies of the enemy, to silence the pain that you and I feel, to bring us joy, to bring us fulfillment. Most of all of this happening through a right relationship with God. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why this season is so special. So like you guys see, we got the wreaths up over here, and over the next few weeks, we'll kind of be adding more stuff to it. It like makes it real cozy. But let me kind of tell you guys something. When Jesus was born, nothing was cozy about that experience. Like scripture says in Matthew 1 that he was born in a manger, or actually Luke 2, it talks about how he was born in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. In other words, Jesus was born in this very nasty place. And contrary to popular belief, like some of you guys who have been around for some time, if you've driven by some churches, you've seen like these nativity scenes where like baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and all the angels and all the shepherds are like around them, and it's all lit up. Contrary to popular belief, they were in a feeding trough. They were in this dark area. So like there was no dominion power back in his day. Like, it wasn't like, hey, let's turn on the light switch because it's kind of dark in here. Like, no, it was dark, y'all. But I believe what God was communicating from eternity was that Jesus, my son, has come to bring light to the world because he is the light of the world. Y'all see the beauty in this? Like, God the Father, Christ the Son, Holy Spirit, they planned these things out years ago, eternities ago. Like, they plan this whole great grand story. And here's the awesome thing about it. Guys, we get to live this thing. Like we get to look back at it and reflect on just how awesome God is. And when we look at that, we can sit here and say, I don't have to believe the lies that the enemy tells me every day. Like, I don't have to succumb to the pressures of this world. I don't have to compromise who I am in the sight of God. No, because God loves me. Because God showed me that he loved me by giving me his greatest gift in the form of his son. That's what this season is all about. Jesus came for us to experience a silent night or peace. Jesus came to bring you peace. Now, I was going to read this scripture because, you know, a whole lot of times, like, we've seen stuff like peace on earth, right? And everybody's always, like, praying, I pray that there would be peace in the world. I don't want to mess with your theology, but Jesus said this in scripture. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Hold on. Jesus, that's counterintuitive to the message that we hear all the time. Even good, well-meaning believers, even some of us have said that. Like, we just pray for peace on earth. Jesus, like, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. But what I did come to do for you is I did come to bring you peace. See the difference? See, the world is hostile to God, right? The world is constantly going against the standard of God. But God says to the people that I've made in my likeness and in my image, I want to bring peace to your life. I want to bring grace to your life. That's what this season represents, that he wants to bring peace. A good pastor, a well-known pastor that is out of Indianapolis, his name is Dave Sumrall from I-Town Church. He said it like this, that peace is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of someone. I love that scripture. I love what he says there. It sounds like scripture. It kind of is, but it's not like in those words. Because Jesus says, I come to bring you peace. And oftentimes we think that peace happens when something is removed from my life. That's not necessarily peace. Peace is when someone comes into my life, and that someone is Jesus. That's when we experience peace, which means that this world can be chaos. Like, life can be nuts. Things can be happening. Work can be insane. People can be talking about me. But if I have Jesus, I have his peace. We sang about that in the second song. He's the Prince of Peace. that he comes to bring me peace. He comes to calm my fears. He comes to calm my anxiety. Let me ask this a question. Like, is there a lot of peace right now in your life? Even if you're a Christ follower, you still may be lacking in peace. Not because you don't know Jesus, but because your life is not focused on Jesus. And whenever you and I take our eyes off Christ, it will always lead to a lack of peace. I kind of put like a little remix on what Pastor Dave said about, you know, his quote. I said that peace is not the absence of something, but it's the arrival of someone, just to kind of make it go with this series. That when Jesus came, he was coming to bring peace to people who were broken. He was coming to bring peace between God the Father and people. We'll talk more about that in a moment. He says, I came to be this bridge. So I've called our church the Bridge Church. He says, I've come to connect humanity, mankind, to an all-loving, all-forgiving, all-faithful God. That's what I came to do. It's amazing. That's why this season is so special. I love Elf. It's like my favorite holiday movie. But Elf can't do what Jesus does. Elf need a savior just like me. I don't care how happy and jolly he is. You still a sinner too. You know what I'm saying? Santa Claus can't bring you salvation, dog. Like, but in Christ Jesus, we have this opportunity at peace. And so you may be asking, so what does this have to do with forgiveness? It has everything to do with forgiveness. It has everything to do with us experiencing this forgiveness that God wants to give us through Christ Jesus. And I think that this is one of the main areas that we oftentimes deal with. I think this is the area that we don't like to talk about. Like, we don't even want to touch it as the song about Mr. Grinch goes. Like, we don't even want to touch it with a 39.5-inch pole. We don't want to have anything to do with forgiveness because forgiveness is messy. Because forgiveness causes me to confront things that I don't want to confront. It can sometimes bring up some old things. It can kind of sometimes bring up some old experiences. Forgiveness is challenging because of things that have happened to us. Let's just be honest about it. Let's just be real. Can we just like be real during this Christmas season? Like, take off the mask and be real. Like, the reason why it's hard for you and I to forgive people is because of what they did to us. They talked about us, they abused us, they mistreated us, they hurt us, they lied to us, they molested us, they abused us, whatever. Like, it's hard for us to forgive people because of the things that people have done to us. Let's just call it what it is. Because if we don't call it what it is, then we can never experience the deliverance from it. And some of us, let's just be real, we're harboring some things that have happened to us from years ago. Like, years ago. Maybe even just last year, we're harboring these things. Maybe somebody took advantage of you. Maybe somebody spoke negatively about you. Maybe, like, the person that you thought was your greatest friend turned out to be your greatest foe. Somebody that you thought would always have your back was the person who actually stabs you in the back. How do you forget that person? And if you be real, you've been wrestling with that for years. You've been wrestling with that for some time. But let me kind of smooth it out for us, because some of us try to, you know, reason, like, God, why does this stuff happen? Guys, we live in a fallen world. Here's what this means. We live in a world that's filled with sin. We also live, because we also live in an imperfect world, we live amongst imperfect people. Here's a newsflash. That's you too. So here's what this means. That as long as we are imperfect and we live in an imperfect world, we are constantly going to experience hurt and pain from people, intentionally or even unintentionally. All right? But let's keep going. But not only will we experience the pain from somebody else, but we also may be the ones causing the pain intentionally or unintentionally in someone else's life. We're imperfect. So we can't put up these crazy expectations that we're never going to get hurt. Guys, we're going to experience hurt. We're going to experience pain. We live in a fallen world. This is going to happen. I don't care how much you try to ADT your life. You're still going to experience pain. I don't care what you and I try to do to buffer and to, like, create this fortress so we can't experience any pain. Like, we're going to still experience it. People are still going to hurt you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to talk about you, right? And before you kind of go, mm-hmm, yeah, you're going to do the same thing to people. right? Like, there's been plenty of times where I've heard people, I didn't even realize it. Like, man, I didn't even realize I said that in that way. It's been plenty of times. And then there's been plenty of times where I've been hurt by people and they didn't even know they hurt me. And then there's been times where I knew I hurt somebody because I was like, I'm going to get you back. And then there's been times where I've experienced the same thing from somebody else. Guys, we live in this broken and this fallen world. But how we respond to the hurts shows us where our lives are. So how do you respond to when somebody hurts you? Do you just kind of go in a shell? You kind of just start avoiding that person? You just kind of start ignoring that person? I mean, what happens? Do you forgive them? Do you extend grace? Do you love them? Do you, like, give them a smile? Like, I forgive you, but, like, no, I don't. I just say that so that way we can get rid of this conversation. Like how do we respond to that? A pastor friend of mine who has some experience in counseling, he shared that 80% of people in the psych ward could leave the hospital today if they would just forgive. 80% of people could leave the psych ward if they would just simply forgive. That's crazy. That's crazy. Just by extending forgiveness. And many of us think we've forgiven people, but all we've really done is moved on. Like, we've learned how to manage it. We've learned how to live with it. But if we were in the same room with that person, we wouldn't even speak to that person. That's how you know if you've kind of actually forgiven a person and there's been some really true reconciliation. Can you stay in the same room with as a person who like, just hurt you? Can you stay in the same room, be around the same people who you know, like, have the worst out for you? They've hurt you intentionally. Can you be in the same room as them? If you can't, that probably means that you and I have not forgiven them yet. And that's real. I've been there. I'm pretty sure all of us have been there. Maybe some of us are there right now. I say it like this, that failing to extend forgiveness shows not just what we're holding on to, but also what's holding on to us. So, like, you think that by you holding on to this painful experience that you're in control. No. Really, you are being controlled by that pain. Because what you don't realize is that pain is causing you to look at life through that filter. You're looking at everything in life through the filter of unforgiveness, through the filter of bitterness. So even when, like, good people come around you and, like, a good friend comes around you, you still look at them half-hearted. You still don't get too close to them because you're looking at them through the lens of bitterness and brokenness because of the last person that you got close to hurts you. It's a mean, nasty thing how the enemy uses this thing on us. And God says, hey, I came that you would experience life. That's what Jesus says in John 10:10. And life to the fullness. Like, I want you to be set free from this. I want you to experience a silent night. I want you to experience some peace in your life. I want you to experience some joy. And I think that many of the issues that we deal with, anger, depression, anxiety, they have much to do with the grudges that we're still holding against people. Like you and I may just kind of go off on the handle at somebody. That don't really have nothing to do with that particular person. But it has more so to do with the person that hurt us prior to us coming in contact with the new person. Like, the anxiety that we sometimes feel, it has a lot to do with the unrest that we have in our hearts towards a particular person. And so, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I know some of you guys were like, when is he going to read the scripture? For some of my type A people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's writing to this church in Ephesus, and this church in Ephesus, these Christ followers in Ephesus, he's giving them, like, just this code of conduct, like, hey, as Christ followers, this is how you guys should live, right? And so in Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about what it means to live as children of the light, in other words, to live as Christ followers. But then in verse 32, he drops a major bombshell. He says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Oh, no, Paul. No. Right? Paul, I was getting with you when you were saying, like, okay, you know, get rid of, like, you know, the malicious talk, you know, leave in sexual immorality. Like, I'm with you. But this forgiveness thing, I don't know about that, Paul. Sounds like you're smoking something. Got a little bit too much eggnog and it's spiked. Like, Paul, hold on. No. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Oh, my goodness, man. Because here's what this causes us to do. It causes us to wrestle with what true forgiveness is. Because oftentimes we think forgiveness is just like somebody saying, I'm sorry, and then it's like, okay, cool, whatever. That doesn't mean you forgave them. That just means you didn't want to talk to them right then. But how you know you haven't forgiven them is because you keep replaying it in your mind of what they should have done. And now you're kind of holding them hostage, like you're kind of withholding some love from them, some grace to them. As a matter of fact, when Paul uses this word forgiveness here in the original language, it means to cancel a debt, to pardon, or to give graciously. Graciously means like give something that a person does not deserve. That's what it means. So like, you're holding back forgiveness from people. What you're doing is like you're not canceling a debt, but you're waiving this debt. You owe me better than what you treated me. You owe me love. You owe me kindness. You owe me all of this stuff. And you're just holding it against them. Paul says like this in 1 Corinthians 13, that love keeps no record of wrongs. That means love forgives. Are you holding something right now? Or better yet, maybe the better question is, what's holding you right now? What's holding you back from extending forgiveness? Because as Christ followers, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're a Christ follower, what God has called you and I to do is to show forgiveness, is to walk in forgiveness. And here's why. The reason why is because Jesus himself came to give forgiveness. Like the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, I'm not going to read it. We got the scripture on the screen, but I'm not going to read it. You guys can kind of go back and read it in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 23. The gospel writer Matthew, he talks about and kind of chronicles this moment where the angel is talking to Joseph, who was the earthly father of Jesus. And so he's kind of met Joseph, and Joseph is like freaking out because he's like, oh my goodness, this is weird. I'm talking to an angel. I'm having this crazy dream, and the angel's giving me these crazy instructions about how my soon-to-be wife is going to be pregnant, and we haven't done nothing yet because we're, you know, like this is strange. This is like some sci-fi stuff. And so the angel says to Joseph, like, hey, your wife-to-be, Mary, is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She's going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she's going to give birth to a son, and we want you to name him Jesus because he is going to come to take away the sins of his people. In other words, he's going to come to forgive. That's why Jesus came. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says it like this. This is a trustworthy saying and worth acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners or to forgive sinners, right? Now, just in case you're trying to figure out who the sinner is, that's you. That's me. Don't look to the person sitting next to you. Don't be like, that's them. No, that's you. It's all of us. All of us qualify for that category because all of us have missed the mark of God. You told a lie? Sinner. You killed somebody? Sinner. Did something crazy? Sinner. Disobeyed God? Sinner. Like, that's what qualifies us to be in that category. But Jesus comes to forgive us of our sins. That was the whole point. That's what this season is all about. It represents what God in Christ Jesus wants to do for us. This was always the plan. That's why this season is so special. But isn't it interesting that this season, why it should be the most special season, can be the most painful season? Why this season, though it should be marked with so much joy, unconditional love, it can be filled with so much grief and so much pain and so much hurt and so much resentment towards family, friends, and even the people that you don't like. But Jesus is like, I didn't come for that. I came to extend grace. I came to extend forgiveness. So when Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he says, like, be compassionate and kind to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And what I'm going to do is I just want to kind of break down just that one verse. That's all I'm doing today. I'm just preaching that one verse. Notice what Paul says at the end of that verse. He says, forgive one another. We'll come back to that in a moment. Here's why. Because in Christ Jesus, God forgave you. You know what Paul's saying? He says, in other words, like, if you're a Christ follower, Jesus has forgiven you. But more importantly, this is what Jesus wants for all of us. Jesus wants us to receive his forgiveness. If you're taking notes on the back of that little worship guide we gave you when you walked in, that's a good place to start writing. That he wants us to receive his forgiveness. That's it. Guys, I say this every week, and I really hope it sticks. We have the easiest response to what God has done for us. God has done all the hard work. Like, he did all the heavy lifting. All he wants us to do is essentially just show up. I just want you to receive it. Like, God is like, I was the one who did all the shopping. I stood on the Black Friday line for you. I saved this up. I did this. I did that. All you got to do is receive the gift. But you know what some of us kind of do because we're filled with so much hurt? Like, I don't want that. That's too good to be true. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free gift. No, there is. Scripture talks about that. that through Jesus, we have this free gift of a relationship with God. It's amazing. And it's all because of his forgiveness. So this means that I have to first acknowledge and confess that, you know what, I've messed up. I've made mistakes. Like, as you look throughout the course of this year, there's been plenty of times where you and I have blown it. There's been plenty of times where you and I have been a jerk. Let's just be real. Call it what it is. Like, there's been plenty of times where we said things that we had no business saying. Guys, we're in need of forgiveness. We're in need of his grace. We're in need of it. Like, we're not above it. Like, just because we've been hurt by somebody doesn't mean we have a leg up on them. Like, no, because we've also done some hurting as well. And if you're like, well, I can't even think of somebody in recent memory that I've hurt. Okay, let's just shut it down. In some capacity, you've sinned against God, whether you realize it or not. That's the hurt of all hurts. But you've grieved him. But Jesus says, hey, I want to forgive you of that. And if you're not a Christ follower, in other words, if you're not a Christian, he's like, I just want you to receive my forgiveness. That's it. I don't want to hold this against, I'm not going to hold this against you. Like, I'm not going to dangle your sins above you and be like, hey, you remember this time? No. Like, Jesus is for us, guys. He's not against us. Like, don't believe the message, like, that you oftentimes may see if you go to, like, a beach or if you just go to some, like, big event and you see all these picket signs where it says, sinner, you need to repent or you're going to hell. Like, Jesus is like, what? Man, I chilled with sinners. I ate dinner with them. That's not the way to win them. The way to win them is by relationship. It's by love, right? I talked to quite a few like of our people in our church, and we always kind of joke around because we're always like, I always kind of share, like, you never see anybody like come to Christ on Facebook when people are like blasting people on Facebook. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, it doesn't matter how many memes you share. It doesn't matter how many posts or how many tweets you, I'm going to retweet this for the sinners so that they'll repent. You know what they're going to look at you like? You're a weirdo. They don't want your faith because there's nothing loving about it. Oh, this is going, I'm going to tell them with this one. I'm going to get them with this one. That's not how it is. Jesus came to this earth as a baby, y'all. He came with tenderness, with love. Jesus is oftentimes referred to in Scripture as the Lamb of God. Soft man. Not like he don't have no strength. Well, he got plenty of strength. But he's tenderhearted. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. And he wants us to be in a relationship with him. John 3:16 is a very popular scripture. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Key word there is he gave. Jesus is a gift to us, y'all. Jesus is a gift from God the Father, and all God the Father wants us to do is just unwrap it. That's it. Because he wants us to experience the joy of being in a relationship with him as a result of us unwrapping the gift. That's it. I have a problem with people who are followers of Jesus and are they always look like 5 miles of bad road. Like, you just always got a frown on your face. How can you have a frown on your face when you got the light of the world living on the inside of you? I don't get it. Like, I don't. Like, how can you just always look mean? Now, I get it, like, some of our, like, countenances, you know, we just kind of naturally deflect to this. Just naturally frown. But why don't you, like, focus on the grace and the goodness of and the faithfulness of God? Because when you do that, this frown turns into a smile. Like, that's how I can go through bad times and be like, you know what? God is still good. No matter what I'm dealing with, no matter the bills that I got to get paid, God is still faithful. I have no reason to be ashamed. I have no reason to be frowning because God is good. How do people look at you when you're on your job? When people see you, oh, no, I'm not going around them. They look mean. Or do you have this warm, inviting experience and presence about you? Or maybe the reason why we have a negative countenance is because we're still harboring some bitterness in us. Because we haven't extended forgiveness. Or maybe it's because we've never received the forgiveness of Christ in the first place. Maybe. Maybe the reason why it's hard for us to be joyous is because we don't know the joy of the Lord. Because we've yet to be in relationship with him. Romans 6:23 says it like this. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. Like, that's what you and I deserve. Like, you and I deserve separation from God. That's what death means there. Eternal separation from God. Like, going to a Christless eternity. But then it says later on, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is in Christ Jesus, which leads to eternal life. Free gift, y'all. Y'all ain't had to stand in Black Friday for that. You ain't got to go to the outlets and shop for this free gift. All you got to do is receive it by faith. Like, just believe that this is what God did for you, that God sent his son Jesus to planet Earth so that all we would need to do is believe that he came to Earth, died for our sins, raised from the grave on the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. All we got to do is make that profession and believe that in our heart, and we've received a right relationship with him. That's it. Like, we don't have to do anything else in conjunction with that. Like, we don't have to, like, read our Bible 100 million times. We don't have to recite all these different scriptures. The question is, do you believe in Christ? Now, for some of us, this is, like radical for some of us, because depending on your church background, you may have came from a place where they said you got to do all of these things to be right with God. God's like, the only thing you got to do to be right with me is believe. Just receive and believe. That's all I want you to do. Just take hold of my gift. That's it. That's it. Just take hold of my gift. Like, what if we told people that message this holiday season? I guarantee you, if we told people that, they may kind of like jerk at the initial response of that or initial hearing of that because it's like too good to be true. But I think they'll eventually start to lean in. And when they start to lean in, they'll show up here. And when they show up here, they'll hear more about it. And when they hear more about it, they'll go back out and tell other people. And those other people will start to come here. And the cycle will continue. But you know where it starts? It starts with you. It starts with me sharing this great gift of God with people. I actually got ahead of myself because that's my second point. That God doesn't just want us to receive forgiveness, but he also wants us to share forgiveness. Right? Like, I want you to receive this. This is what he's saying. Receive my forgiveness and share it. Now, the reason why sharing is so important is because if you haven't received this forgiveness, you can't share it. But if you have received this forgiveness, you should share it. Now, I know for some of us, this is hard. Because we're like, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how they touched me. You don't know how they stabbed me in the back. You don't know any of that. You're right, I don't know. But Jesus does know. And I can guarantee you this, that his forgiveness is greater than your pain. His grace, his power is greater than your suffering. Like, the thing that you are holding on to, or the thing that has a hold of you that you've tried to shake and you can't shake it on your own, let me give us some good news. Jesus, his power can break that. And it starts with us receiving his forgiveness. Here's what this also means. This also means that you and I don't have to walk under this auspice of guilt anymore. Because maybe we're not the ones that need to extend forgiveness, but maybe we're the ones that need to forgive ourselves as well. Because for some of us, we've been walking around with a whole lot of guilt. Guilt because of things that have happened years ago. Guilt because, like, I wasn't a good parent. I wasn't a good father. I wasn't a good mother. I wasn't a good spouse. I wasn't a good friend. I wasn't a good student. And you're just walking around with all this guilt. And Jesus is saying, I'm not holding anything against you. So why are you holding something against yourself? Like, why are you still shooting yourself for something I already took the bullet for? Why are you still condemning yourself for something that I've already forgiven you of? And I don't know who that's for, but I believe a lot of us in here wrestle with that. That we wrestle with this guilt thing, man. We can't sleep at night. We wrestle, we turn, we toss and we turn every night because we're so guilt-ridden, man. And Jesus is like, I want to set you free from that. I don't want you to be a hostage to guilt anymore. I want you to be set free from guilt. I want you to be set free from the guilty feelings that you oftentimes feel. And if the guilt that Jesus wants to set me free from is powerful, then it's just as powerful for me to extend forgiveness to somebody else. Share forgiveness. That's what Paul says next. He actually said it first. But that was the fruit of receiving forgiveness. That when I receive forgiveness, what now he calls me to do is to share forgiveness. That's what he wants you and I to do. To share this forgiveness with people. So he says, forgive one another. Be kind and compassionate towards each other. Man, I long and I pray that our church will be a forgiving church. That we don't hold on to stuff because Christ has set us free from stuff. That when somebody offends us, yeah, it hurts. If somebody come up to you and stab you with a knife, it's not going to be like, oh, Jesus died for that, and Jesus' wounds take my pain away. No, you're going to feel it. I'm not asking you to be numb to it. what I'm asking you to be is not a slave to it. Because now Jesus is your master. And he's a good master. He's come to set you and I free. And he wants you and I to share this forgiveness with other people. And so it's interesting because when Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus, he's writing this to believers who aren't just like all hunky-dory with each other. Like in Ephesians chapter 2, he begins to talk about this great miracle that God has done, not only for the church of Ephesus, but for all people through Christ Jesus. Now, just to kind of give us the background, the church of Ephesus, or the churches in Ephesus, because Ephesus was made up of all these small house churches made up of different believers, it was a very diverse background of churches. In other words, like you had like believers who were of different ethnicities. And in particular, you had this whole tension between Jewish Christian believers and what we also know as Gentile Christian believers. Jewish Christian believers were those who were just pure-blooded Jews. Like they were Jewish by blood. And then you had Gentile Christian believers who were everybody else, like who wasn't Jewish blood. Black, white, Asian, whoever. Like every other ethnicity that you can think of outside of Jewish, that's who they were. And there was always this tension here. Here's the reason why there was tension. Because years ago, Jews and Gentiles didn't really have anything in common. Like oftentimes there was this war between different ethnicities. There was always this, not common ground, but a feudal ground. There was always this warring. So you had races of people who were divided up and there was hostility towards them. But here's what God does for us in Jesus. God says in Ephesians chapter 2, this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, that what Jesus does is Jesus comes to destroy the dividing wall of hostility that existed between Jewish Christian believers and Gentile Christian believers. Jews and Gentiles now are no longer two, but now they are made one. It's a beautiful thing. Here, let me put it in classic context. This would be the equivalent of people who are part of the KKK and people who are part of the Black Panther movement now being together as one. Mind blowing. I hope that kind of, that's probably not even good enough, but I hope that kind of paints a picture. Like two parties that have nothing to do, hate each other, like kill each other, lynch each other, murder each other, have nothing to do with each other, but now put down guns and now pick up crosses, saying that we are all together a part of one body called the church. Amazing. But it happened because Jesus extended forgiveness. So when Paul writes Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, he still has this in mind. Because when Jesus forgave us, he adopted us, he made us to be a part of one family. So it doesn't matter what color you are, what creed you are, what language you speak, what place you're from, it doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in, rich, poor, in between, does not matter. We are all one in Christ Jesus. This is why we have to extend forgiveness to one another. Because when we do that, it shows the unconditional love and acceptance of God the Father. That he wants people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language to be a part of his family. That's why the vision here at our church is to be a Christ-centered, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church and community of people. Like, we're not a church that just focuses on reaching one group of people or one demographic of people. No, we want to be a church that communicates the gospel to all people, no matter where they're from, no matter what their ethnicity is, no matter what their economic makeup is, no matter what their gender is. We want to communicate the love of Christ in such of a way where people see Ephesians 4:32 played out, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. And forgiveness, what it does is it paves the way for reconciliation. Because oftentimes we think we can reconcile with people without forgiving them. Mm-mm. All you did is just move on. You don't have reconciliation, you just have avoidance. Forgiveness opens up the door for reconciliation to happen. So when we receive the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, now we are reconciled to God. And when we extend and share forgiveness with other people and they receive it, now we are reconciled to one another, which is why our vision at the church is to see people reconciled to God and to one another. That's the beauty of the gospel. And what you and I have to do is not just receive it, but to share it. Who is the person right now that you're holding bitterness towards? Like, who is the person right now that you have a grudge with? Because forgiving others is not based on what they have done to me, but it's based on what Jesus has done for me. That's what forgiveness is all about. It has nothing to do with what they've done to me. The reason why I forgive is because of what Christ has done for me. If forgiveness was based upon what you did to me, I'd never talk to you again. I probably want to shoot you in the head. But forgiveness to you is based upon what Christ has done for me. You see it? Like, because it happened vertically, now it happens horizontally. That's the picture of the cross. Because what Jesus does is he reconciles us to God and to one another. It's a beautiful picture. That's why you got to show forgiveness. That's why you got to share forgiveness with other people. That's why you have to extend grace to people. Because a person who realizes that they've been forgiven much will be compelled to forgive much. So if you're a Christ follower and you're saying, I can't forgive them, yes, you can, because Christ has forgiven you. Like, your offense is not greater than Jesus' sacrifice. Not at all. You and I can forgive them. Is it going to feel good? No. Like, Jesus, for him to forgive us, you know what he had to do? He had to die. You and that also says to us that we have to die to our emotions, we have to die to our flesh, we have to die to our own will in order to show and to share the forgiveness and the mercy of God. Who's the person right now that you and I are having a hard time forgiving? I pray that God gives you nightmares this week until you forgive that person. I pray that over your life in Jesus' name. Some of you are like, I'm not coming back ever. I pray that, man. Here's why. Because when you and I trust in God's word and you and I obey that, man, we see the grace of God flow like never before. I'm talking families begin to get reconciled to each other. I'm talking people who were once at odds with each other begin now to come together. Like, if you got some tension right now in your life, in your family, in your friendships, start by extending grace. Watch how God will use the grace that you extend to soften the hearts of people. Don't hold a grudge. Don't talk about them beneath your breath. Extend grace to them. Extend forgiveness to them. Why? Because that's what God has done for you and I in Christ Jesus. In order for reconciliation to happen, forgiveness has to pave the way for it. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, here's what Paul says. He says, therefore, in light of that, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, living and walking in this way of love just as Christ did, giving himself up for us, sacrificing himself even as a fragrant offering. That's what Christ did for us. Walk in the way of love. Extend forgiveness to people this week. Live a life of forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the greatest ways to show the love of Christ to people. And you know what Jesus did? As we get ready to worship, and worship team, you guys can come on up as we get ready to close. Here's what Jesus did on the cross. Here was a perfect picture of what Christ did. When Christ was on the cross, he was on the cross for our sins. Not his. He didn't do anything wrong. We did something wrong. Our sins put him on the cross. Do you know what Jesus said on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Do you know what Jesus could have said, and he would have actually been right in saying it? Father, kill them. Kill them. Gabriel, Michael, hey, y'all come on down here. We're going to go ahead and wipe this whole thing off. We're killing all of them. Kill them all. Samuel L. Jackson style, time to kill. Yes, they deserve to die. Not going to say the rest. Because we deserve to die. But you know what Jesus did? On the cross, you know the words he uttered? Father, forgive them. You know what our words should be towards people who have hurt us? Father, forgive them and help me to forgive them as well. Help me to show compassion to them. Help me to show grace to them. And I believe some of us right now, if we would be honest, we're hurting right now. We're bleeding all over the place, leaving a trail of blood everywhere we go. But Jesus is saying, hey, you're leaving a blood-stained trail behind you, but my blood can heal you and bind up that wound, purify your life. And all you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is believe in it. In a moment, we're going to take communion. I thought it would be just so fitting because of the fact that we recognize not just Jesus' birth, but his death and his life and his resurrection. I thought it would be fitting on the first Sunday in December that as we are looking at the arrival of Christ through the lens of what he's done for us already, that we would reflect on what he has done for us on the cross. But before we do that, I want to give you the opportunity, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, with every head bowed, every eye closed, it's just a personal moment with you and God. If you're here this morning, and if you could be honest about where you are right now, you're saying, you know what, I don't know the forgiveness of Christ. I'm having a hard time extending forgiveness to people. First question I want you to ask, and I want you to be real, have you first received Jesus' forgiveness? In other words, have you believed in what he's done for you? Have you received him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Messiah? All this fancy talk for it, have you let him into your life yet? Have you received his love? Because if you haven't received his love, you're not going to be able to show love to people. If you haven't received his forgiveness, you're not going to be able to show it and share it with others. But today he says, you can receive my grace and my forgiveness. All you have to do is say, Jesus, please come into my life. I want you, and I want you alone. If that's you and you're saying, I want a relationship with Christ Jesus today, I'm going to make it very simple for you. I'm not going to put you on the spot or ask you to stand up or say anything. But what I do want you to do is to say this right where you are, in the quiet of your heart. And I want you to mean it. I want you to believe it. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. If you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today, this is your heart cry. Repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you not only were born for me, but that you lived for me, you died for me, and you resurrected for me. I believe that you died for my sins so that I can be forgiven, so that I can receive your grace. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are my Lord. I give you my life to receive yours in exchange. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. If you guys could, take that cup that we gave you as you walked in. For those of you guys who don't really know too much about what we're getting ready to do, this is what we do called communion or the Lord's Supper. It's when we recognize what Jesus has done for us.